TMZ TV.
Talk about not wanting to talk. Man. I can't even light a cigarette correctly here. I am undergoing some sort of spiritual oppression right now. And I don't want to make a video, but I promised myself that I would, no matter how I felt, and that maybe something valuable would come of it. I'm outside with my back against the wall of the cottage. The moon's up here. That's the moon. Somewhere up there is God. And spiritual forces of wickedness. Somewhere up there is the spirit that became a lying voice in the mouths of the prophets of Israel. I think that truth is bothering me a little bit. I've been wrestling all day with trying to figure out why God would send a spirit to be a lying spirit in the voices of 400 prophets of Israel. And I'll tell you what I've come up with. Well, the result of the lying spirit was that all of the prophets of the Lord, all of the prophets of Israel who were supposedly spokesmen of the Lord urged the kings, King of Israel and the King of Judah, to go up to a battle that they were destined to lose and that would cause death. One guy shone forth in that whole episode, and it was Micaiah, the true prophet of Yahweh, who testified to the truth. Not only did he testify to the truth, but he gave us a glimpse behind the stage up there to what is happening, to what is really happening. And here's what's really happening. Behind everything that happens on earth, there's spiritual forces behind it up there. It makes me sad because I have friends and loved ones in the Christian religion, and I know that the lying spirits have infested that religion, and my friends are doomed to die, just as Israel was scattered and the king of Israel died in the battle against Ramoth-Gilead. Why would God purposely set up Israel to fail? And if we can answer that question, we can answer the question of why he set up Christianity to fail, to be destroyed. And what follows is the only reason I can come up with. In my 35 years of studying the scriptures and the Word of God, studying God's ways, His means, His techniques, is this. Is that the entire false system and the false prophets and the false pastors and the false priests have been set up for our sake. They are being sacrificed on an altar so that we, now this is going to sound, well, I don't care how it sounds, so that we can stand up against it, so that we can be persecuted by it, so that we can be the one voice that shines out in the darkness of spiritual apostasy. There must be something so incredibly valuable about being persecuted by the religious world. That God is giving all of us, if I can put it this way, the opportunity to suffer at the hands of those who name the name of God. Do you know what they did to Micaiah? After he testified truthfully concerning Israel's fortunes at Ramoth Gilead, do you know what they did to him? They put him in jail. And they fed him bread and water. You know what they did to Jesus Christ? First standing up to the religious authorities of his day for testifying to the truth, the voice of one man surrounded by spiritual apostasy like a fish is surrounded by water. They killed him. And they will kill you. They will expel you from their assemblies. They will label you as evil. They will label you as deceived. Yes, a deceiver. They will not appreciate the testimony that you bring. They won't appreciate the testimony of the truth because they love the lies. And the lies are everywhere. Maybe that is what is spiritually oppressing me. And I know my focus is wrong. I'm focusing on the evil up there. I'm pointing you now to the moon, which is a symbol of evil. That's not the sun right there. That's the moon. It's a reflected light. It's a dead rock. It doesn't have its own light. The reign of the Antichrist is measured in months, 42 months. Months are measured by the moon. It's a symbol of evil, symbol of death, and of a false light. As I was thinking about this all day today, I first went to the possibility that God sets up an entire world system of false religion in order to show how evil form without power truly is. This is the testimony of Paul against the apostasy. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we are to shun those who have a form of devoutness, but deny the power. and the king of Israel and the king of Judah, they had a form of devoutness. They had their thrones, they had their robes, they had their entourage, they had their prophets ready and at hand, institutionally trained, groomed to tell lies. And this is a testimony in the earth, really, that form without power is worse than simply no power at all. Because it's the form that lures the sheep into the snare. The form of devoutness lures millions of people into the lie. But I come back to God is the one sending the lie. I'm not saying that it's not true that there must be a testimony on the earth, an example of form without power and how evil it is and what it will do, the depravity it will go to, that it will kill the servants of God. Humanity needs to see this. The celestial world up there needs to see it. We need to see the form without power crucifies the Son of God, and it will crucify you. It will diminish you. It will send you to prison with bread and water. But now I think it's more than that. I think that there is such value, such spiritual wealth to be had by those who are persecuted by these people, by those who are crucified, sent to jail, given bread and water, pushed into the margins of society. And if you look at the history of Israel, you find the prophets living in caves. You find the prophets naked. You find them destitute. You find them weeping. You find them friendless. You find them hungry. And yet there are people like the widow who fed Elijah. And there's Lydia in Philippi who befriended Paul. You always will have a small cadre of friends. Jesus had his. He had 12 friends. It will always be a small group. But I keep coming back to the phrase, and this might be the key to everything. Paul says, and Jesus said, let your light shine in the darkness. It's a dark world. And we are, as Paul says, luminaries in the world. And how do we shine? Well, I wish I was looking at the sun right now instead of the moon. Because I want to say this, that we shine against darkness. It's the only way light can be apprehended. The only way light can be apprehended is if it shines against the dark. Don't you think Paul is going to receive a wreath of righteousness? And why will he receive this wreath of righteousness? Because he struggled against this, the darkness. He struggled against darkness and evil. So consider this. What I'm going to say is going to sound radical, but I'm taking 1 Kings chapter 22 as a template here. And that is that God will raise up and he will purposely send lies into a religious system that covers the earth. And he will, in the end, destroy it. But if he destroys it, why did he bring it in the first place? So that we could shine against it, so that we could be persecuted by it, and so that we could be killed by it. And it's such a great thing to be killed, persecuted by the religious world, that God raised up the religious world to be that foil. It makes me feel sorry for them. It really does. It makes me feel sorry for the religious system, because they exist for us. God is willing to waste them for us. God is willing to raise them up in the falsehood, to nourish them in lies, to coat them with deception, so that we can be rewarded with wreaths of righteousness. This is above and beyond salvation, ladies and gentlemen. This is not mere salvation. God has done it before. Think of it. He wasted an entire generation in the wilderness so that two men, Joshua and Caleb, could shine and come forth. He wasted every inhabitant of the earth in the days of Noah so that eight righteous people associated with the true God and speaking the words of truth would survive and step forth onto a new eon. I'll never forget when I read in Hebrews for the first time that there's a such thing as a better resurrection. Paul, writing Hebrews, talked about those who wandered about the earth in goat skins, living in caves like the prophets did, those of whom the world was not worthy. Some were killed, some were sawn asunder, they were scourged, they were put into jails, that they may be happening upon a better resurrection. I read that and I thought, a better resurrection? What is that? I thought resurrection was resurrection. But it's not. God has raised up and sustained with lies sent by spirits a system that's antagonistic to God, that has a form of devoutness but denies the power, so that you can suffer at its hands, so that you can stand against it, so that you can be a lone voice in the wilderness, so that you too, with Paul, with Christ, with all the apostles who were violently killed by the religious power, so that you too can have a better resurrection.